Eagles in Leadership is pleased to introduce you to Jan Moskowitz. Jan is the North American Director of Jews for Jesus, was born and raised in the Bronx in New York City, where he came to terms with God through his Messiah, Jesus, in 1971. Jan was one of the original Jews for Jesus volunteers, even before the organization's incorporation in 1973. Jan co-founded the New Jerusalem Players, a mobile drama team of Jews for Jesus. He has directed the New York branch, served as director of the Chicago branch of Jews for Jesus for 25 years, and currently serves as the director of North American Ministries, overseeing the 10 Jews for Jesus branches in North America. Let's listen in as we discover more about this wonderful ministry of visitation and proclamation of the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ.
We are thrilled today to have on our podcast Jan Moskowitz with Jews for Jesus. Jan, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you. It's good to be with you.
For our listeners, why don't you tell them a little bit, first of all, about what Jews for Jesus is?
Jews for Jesus is a mission society. We exist to make the Messiahship of Jesus an unavoidable issue to our Jewish people worldwide. We're banded together, Jews and Gentiles, to preach the gospel to all people with a Jewish flavor.
Now, you were born in a little town on the East Coast. What was that?
In New York City.
And tell us a little bit about your background.
I was born and raised in New York. My mother and father were both survivors of the Holocaust. They both came after World War II. And I was raised in a conservadox kind of home, cross between conservative and orthodox. I went to an orthodox synagogue. It was bar mitzvah. I was raised, you know, committed to my Jewish people. And kind of got involved in the 60s kind of thing back in the 1960s, early 70s. And it was really through a search that started in Israel in 1967 that culminated in 1971 in San Francisco, where I came to realize Jesus was the promised Messiah of Israel.
Now tell us a little bit about how you got to Israel and
well,
kind of take that journey.
In 1967, the war had broken out, and I really felt a sense of loyalty to Israel, and I wound up trying to join the army, but I got there, the war was over, and I wound up picking peaches for a kibbutz. I should tell you the whole story. I got thrown off the kibbutz in about a month because I wasn't quite living the lifestyle of a kibbutznik, and I wound up living on a beach in a lot for a while, you know, with the hippies. Back then, they were beatniks, but, you know.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, and you got to San Francisco. What happened there that changed your life?
Well, some Jewish friends and I were living in San Francisco. It was the height of the Jesus Revolution. And because I was part of the hippie culture at the time, Jesus was an avatar like others, so I wasn't really resistant to hearing about him. But when my Jewish friends became believers in Jesus, I saw their lives change, and I was really challenged. And I started reading the Bible, old and new, and I started becoming convinced of what it said.
Wow.
You know, 1971, I gave my life to the Lord.
And how has your life kind of moved? You're obviously high up in leadership now.
I suspect that leadership, I mean, I'm one of the original Jews for Jesus founders, so I just kind of stayed where I was. The organization kind of grew, you know. My current position is North American Director, which means that I basically mentor leaders in North America. And we have 10 branches of Jews for Jesus in North America. And we have branches all around the world. We have branches in Moscow, Odessa, Kiev, Dnipropetrovsk, Germany, Paris, London, Tel Aviv, Johannesburg, Sydney, Buenos Aires, and wherever there are large groups of Jewish people, you'll find a missionary to Jews from Jews for Jesus. Right now,
tell us a little bit for our listeners who aren't familiar with Jews for Jesus, what you do. When I mean, you have so many different levels where
you
work through.
Well, I think the primary work of Jews for Jesus is proclamation. And the primary work of Jews for Jesus is meeting with Jewish people and opening the Bible and sharing with them the good news of Jesus. And so our primary work is visitation. I mean, we do a lot of tract distribution, a lot of, you know, ads and things like that. But all of that ultimately works to one end, that we get a name of a person who's interested in wanting to find out more about Jesus, and we send a missionary to their home, and we open a Bible and share the message of Jews for Jesus. So if any of your listeners anywhere in the world have Jewish friends that they'd like us to try to reach, let me encourage them to just go to jewsforjesus.org, which is our international website. They can find tons of free information and for sale information on how to share your faith with Jewish people, and find a local mission society, a local mission branch in that area that we might be able to help them, you know, reach the Jewish people of whatever country they're in, and be a part of it. If there are any pastors listening, you know, our missionaries are trained and able to come to their churches and make presentations about, say, the Feasts of Israel or Messianic prophecy or how to share your faith with a Jewish person and be a resource to the local church.
Now, without being political, we know that Israel's right in the center of news almost every week and things are happening around. Tell us a little bit about what that's doing in the hearts of men and women that you see ministry.
I think something unusual is happening right now in Israel. I think there are movements of the Holy Spirit among Jewish people, and there have been movements among Jewish people for the last 40 years. I mean, there were, I would dare say, thousands of Jewish young kids in the 60s and 70s who became believers in Jesus. And then we saw a great move of the Holy Spirit among Jewish people in South Africa. And then in the 90s, we saw a great move of God among the former Soviet Union. I mean, thousands and thousands of Jewish people came to faith. It's interesting. We are seeing a move of the Holy Spirit among Israelis now as never before. It's remarkable to see, you know, in season and out of season, we preach the gospel. But here, we're seeing a wonderful response. Perhaps it's the political situation. Perhaps it's the difficulty. You know, it's the sovereign work of God. It's always a sovereign work of God. But we're seeing Jewish people who are touring the countries, you know, leaving, getting out of the army and then going to Brazil or to Thailand or to India and meeting, believe it or not, missionaries who have been sent to reach the Thai or the Indian or the Brazilian or the Bolivian, and they meet these Israelis. I mean, there was a group, there's a couple that was working in the hills of Bolivia, reaching this Indian tribe, who probably led more Israelis to the Lord than most Jewish mission societies, because the Israelis were on backpacking trips around the world, and this was a spot they all said, this is the place you want to go. They have a hospitality house. When they get there, they hear the gospel. So Israelis are coming to the Lord as never before, except for maybe the first century. And one of the things Jews for Jesus is trying to do is to construct the largest barrel we can, because we know it's raining.
Yes.
You know what I mean? So we're sending our missionaries all around the world to those spots where Israelis go and being prepared to meet them. It's fun.
There's a theme kind of in all of Jewish evangelism that I've seen through Jews for Jesus, and that is the building of the relationship and the sitting down and having the conversation. You mentioned the visitation and all of that. For our friends who have Jewish friends, maybe you can pull away some of the preconceived barriers or obstacles
and
just
talk. The biggest objection Jewish people have to the gospel is not theological, it's social. It's loyalty to group. I mean, the idea is that if you have any sense of identity as a Jew, you want to stay a Jew. And historically, the gospel has been presented as a way to convert to becoming a Gentile. And so, you know, you're seen as a traitor if you even consider the claims of Christ, let alone become a believer. And so there's tremendous social pressure on Jewish people to not even listen, or listen politely, but decline, because the consequences from family and friends is so great. Mm. And so if a person is, you know, a friend of a Jewish person and they want to help them understand the gospel, I think they also need to understand the pressures from the community and their families to not even hear it. And so I would say, when presenting the gospel to a Jewish person who is your friend, to preface it by going, look, I know this is probably not an easy thing to listen to. And I know that you know, if I convince you of the truth of this, which I can't anyway, but if you are convinced of the truth of this, the consequences are pretty great. So I recognize that it's hard for you to have a neutral listening. You know,
probably one of the best things that you could do when we're talking about witnessing to Jewish people is explain to the folks that are listening about the fact that about their understanding of what the Bible really teaches that we probably know as Christians. And kind of how is that going to
I think crucial to the presentation of the gospel to Jewish people or anybody else is to explain that we're part of a large story, an ongoing story. Mm-hmm. And that story has four components to it. And each of those components is really crucial to presenting the gospel. One of them is creation, that God is the creator. The second is the fall, that the way the world is not the way it ought to be. And the third is redemption, that God really did something about it. And the fourth is consummation, that there really is something better coming. And all four of those need to be part of our narrative. When you present the gospel to a Jewish person, you know, they need to understand what sin is. I mean, to them, sin is just something you do. It's not a state of being. And so helping a Jewish person say, look, the world is not the way God intended it to be. God didn't create polio. He didn't create hatred. That's choices that men made. It's the consequences of sin. And it's not just bad doing. It's bad. It's who we are. And so that's part of it. I think another thing that you need to help the Jewish person see is what substitutionary death is. And to say that Jesus died for your sins doesn't mean anything if a Jewish person doesn't understand the principle of substitutionary death, that God in his graciousness provided an alternative or someone to take the consequences. And I think the last thing is salvation. What does it mean to be saved? I mean, we use the term so quickly, but you know, what does a Jewish person hear when they hear the word salvation? A Jewish person thinks of the Exodus when he thinks of salvation. He thinks of a corporate body being saved from a national catastrophe. This, you know, when we mean the word salvation, we mean eternal life. We mean being restored into a relationship with the Father that was broken because of sin. And so those are really crucial. Sin, salvation, substitutionary death become real issues that need to be presented to a Jewish person before they can even consider the claims of Christ.
So a good working knowledge of the first five books of the Old Testament is a great help.
Oh, it's always a great help.
Just to be able to understand the differences and the analogies that you can...
I think that would be helpful, but I think more important than anything else is a listening heart.
Yes.
To the person and to the Holy Spirit. I mean, if you're a believer, and you really are a believer, and you've been regenerated, then these are central issues that you've wrestled with,
yes.
And you know. Just listen to the person. And there's no formula here. Mm-hmm. It's just listening. And listen to the Holy Spirit. He'll give you wisdom.
Jews for Jesus, we've been listening to Jan Moskowitz. And tell us again, how can we get information?
Easiest way, Jews for Jesus, no space, Jewsforjesus .org. Jewsforjesus.org. Easy enough.
Great. Super. Appreciate you being on the podcast today.
Thank you.
I hope I'm encouraging each one of our listeners to go to the website, Jewsforjesus.org. I'm encouraging them to contact the organization to get your literature and contact you as well. Thank you, Jan, so much.
Thank you, brother.
Okay.
And on that note, Dr. Smith concludes this interview with Jan Moskowitz. You can learn more about this ministry at Jewsforjesus.org. Whether through tract evangelism, witnessing campaigns, music and drama, secular media outreach, or internet evangelism, you can discover their ministry and resources and find out how Jews for Jesus can partner with you to reach our world for Christ. Until next time, I'm your host Mike Powers for Dr. Smith and all of us at eaglesandleadership.org and the Transformed Podcast, praying your week will be filled with God-sized answers to your efforts for Him.